An unmarried woman, an unplanned pregnancy, an implausible explanation. It is not hard to imagine what others were saying and thinking. Did you hear? Mary's pregnant. I never expected this. Mary and Joseph should have known better. They aren't even married yet. Well, I heard that Joseph's not even the father. How could she do that to him? He's such a good and just man. Who is the father? They say Joseph still intends to take her as his wife. He's going to marry her after all of this? The whole thing is a disgrace. She and her love child should be stoned. That's what the law requires. I'm sure Joseph heard the whispers and saw the looks. If not in the village, then certainly in his own imagination. Joseph knows this is a scandal. He knows there are questions of faithfulness. The love child in Mary's womb proves that. By the light of day, it all seems pretty clear. Joseph will awake in the morning and do what he has to do. He will quietly send Mary away. What appears to be one thing in the light of public scrutiny, however, becomes another in the night of silence, of listening, of waiting. Yes, this is a scandal, but it is not a scandal of immorality. The real scandal is that God is with us. We thought God was up there, out there, or, I don't know, somewhere out in the future. But then Mary got pregnant. The scandal of that pregnancy is that God is intimately present. God's Holy Spirit fills the womb of Mary. The wind of God is blowing through her life. The breath of God in her is so real that it begins to show like the pregnant woman that she is. The scandal is that humanity can become pregnant with God. Yes, Mary's pregnancy raises questions of faithfulness, but it is not the usual question or accusation of betrayal or infidelity. Rather, this pregnancy is a statement of God's faithfulness and commitment to God's people. In this pregnancy, God renews all the covenants of history and again chooses us to be His people. God's continuing promise to show up and to live in the midst of our lives is fulfilled in Mary's pregnancy. This pregnancy is fleshly faithfulness. Yes, the child within Mary is a love child. That is not, however, a euphemism for a child born to unmarried parents. No, this child is the revelation of God's love for humanity, love that can be seen, heard, touched. This embodied love of God will feed and nourish God's people. Joseph's daytime resolution to quietly dismiss Mary has given way to a night of dreaming, of pondering, of wondering, of wrestling. Joseph's view of Mary, her pregnancy, even himself, has been enlarged and opened. He has begun to see this situation, this scandalous pregnancy, through the eyes of faith rather than the stares of the local villagers. Mary's story and the angel's words now speak louder than the villagers' voices. The only reason this could happen is because Joseph entrusted himself to the night, to the inner world, where angels appear, guide, and speak God's holy word. The night of faith shows reality to be more than the daytime drama with which we so often live. It is the place where God speaks the truth about us and sees more than we sometimes see for ourselves. It is the night of Emmanuel. Joseph experienced God with him. He found holiness hidden where it has always been hidden, in plain sight, among the scandals, the talk, the looks, the questions, and yes, even the doubts. So Joseph awoke in the morning, and he did what he had to do. He began emptying himself. He let go of the fear. He let go of the villagers' voices and their stares. He let go of his own doubts and questions. He let go of his own reputation and standing in the community. He let go of his ideas and hopes for what his marriage to Mary could have been. He let go of the law and the punishment. With each letting go, Joseph emptied himself so that, by God's grace and mercy, he might become the larger womb that would protect, nourish, and provide security to Mary and to her child. He would be the larger womb that sheltered Mary and Jesus from Herod's rage and the slaughter of the innocents. He would be the larger womb that safely took Mary and Jesus to Egypt. He would be the larger womb that sustained their lives in that land, that foreign land. He would be the larger womb that brought them back to Nazareth when the time was right. Isn't that what real wombs do? They are the place where life is created and sustained, nourished and grown. They offer security and protection. They are that deep interior place where God's life and breath meet and unite with ours to create something beautiful and sacred. The womb Joseph offered was as important as the one that Mary offered. Even as God was acting in Mary's womb to create a new life, divine human life, so God also was acting in Joseph's larger womb to sustain that life. At one level, today's gospel is about Mary and Joseph. But at another level, it is about you and you and you and about me. It is about us becoming more open and receptive, more womb-like, so that we might give birth to God's Son in our time, in our life, and in our culture. God knows we need Jesus. In this world, we need Him now. Joseph guides us into Christmas, reminding us that before a womb can be filled, it first must be empty. He invites to enter the night of faith and to begin emptying ourselves of all that keeps our womb, our soul, so closed. We must let go of all those things that make our womb, our soul, inaccessible. Things like fear and guilt, resentment and anger, the villagers' voices, and those horrible stares. The thoughts that say we are not enough. We are not good enough. The doubts of God's presence, the isolation, the loneliness of loss and of sorrow. You see, letting go creates space, openness, and opportunity for God to work in our lives. Over and over, we must let go, emptying ourselves until we find that we are nothing and in reality have nothing. That nothingness is our empty womb offered with scandalous faith that it might be filled with the incarnation of God. We will be recreated too. The world will hear good news. The world will once again discover, as we have, that God is with us. Emmanuel. Please, God, let it be so. Amen.